Okay. Morning. Today's daf of Menachos is Kuf Yud. Notice that, of course, today's the last day of the Masechta. We're starting today on Kuf Tes Amud Beis. We are finishing the 13th parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah talked a little bit about Beis Chonya. Last couple of Mishnahs talked about a person making a neder, committing himself to bring a carbon in Beis Chonya. How do we treat such a neder? So the Mishnah after that talked about Kohanim or Mishamish in Beis Chonya, and whether or not they are permanently barred and banned from serving in the Beis Hamikdash. And so it only begs the question, what is Beis Chonya? Like, who's Chonya? Where is it? What is it? Why did it happen? So forth and so on. So today we begin the Gemara giving us some of the details regarding Beis Chonya. I mentioned this yesterday, but I'll just quickly start off today. It's a great way to just get ourselves grounded and planted in the right direction. So in building the Bais Shein of the Second Temple, so the Jewish leadership was run by an assembly, Anshei Knesset Gedola, 120 greats made up of both Talmidei Chachamim and Nevi'im, and they set us up for the Bais Shein for the Second Temple, what they call in the academic world the Second Commonwealth. I don't know. Anyway, the Mishnah Perkei Avos described that the last of the Anshei Knesset Gedola was Shimon HaTzadik. The Mishnah Perkei Avos describes him as Shayari Anshei Knesset Gedola. So he was the last of the Anshei Knesset Gedola. So he was fantastic. He was a Kohen. He was a Kohen Gadol. And probably the most famous story regarding Shimon HaTzadik involved him and his meeting with Alexander the Great. See the Gemara in Yuma for more details of that story. In the meantime, however, Shimon HaTzadik was the end of an era. And what he tried to do is he tried to pass it on to his children, or specifically to his son, to one of his sons. He had two sons, Shimi and Chonyo. Shimi was older by 2.5 years. That's undisputed. That's going to be according to all versions we have in our Gemara. And as far as giving the position of Kohen Gadol, so originally it went to Chonyo, not to Shimi, even though Chonyo was younger by 2.5 years. That caused envy and jealousy. And over the course of today's daf, we're going to see what happens to the rest of the story regarding Shimi and Chonyo. Well, we all know the ending. Chonyo is going to be setting up shop in Alexandria. And so what exactly happens? So that's what we're going to be doing now for the next little bit of Gemara. Now you'll note in the Mishnah says, offering in Beis Chonyo, and it goes without saying that if a Kohen is actually involved in Avodah Zarah, so then for sure he's going to be barred and banned from serving in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, the obvious point of the Mishnah, the deduction of the Mishnah is very clear, that Beis Chonyo itself is not a makom avodah zarah. And the Gemara just simply makes that observation. So Tanya Kaman, Damar Beis Chonyo lav avodah kochavimu. And the Gemara says, and I'll show you a brice also that feels this way, which is the Tanya, Gemara quotes the following brice also, Shana Shemei Shimon HaTzadik. So now we're describing the year in which Shimon HaTzadik knows he's going to die. So obviously, as a Kohen Gadol, that means that annually he's going to be going into the Kodesh HaKadosh in Yom Kippur in order to do the Avodah Avodah Yom Kippur. So here, the Braisa describes that he knows that Yom Kippur, he knows that that's going to be his last Yom Kippur. How does he know? So, Shimon HaTzadik, Amalem Shanazu, who mates? He says, in that year, that person's going to die, a reference to himself. Amru Lo Minayin Ata Yodea, they ask him the obvious question, well, how do you know? So Amalem Kol Yom Kippur Nizdan Li Zaken Echel Lavush Levanim Nizati Of Levanim, because you know, every year, I'm accompanied by somebody who's wearing white. V'nichnas Emi V'yatsa Emi, goes in with me, comes out with me. This year I was accompanied by the person who was wearing black. So that was clue number one. So it's a pretty strong clue. And not only that, but he came in with me, didn't come out with me. We'll call that clue number two. Okay, so two very powerful, strong clues indicating that he knew that this was going to be his last Yom Kippur. Hopefully it bothers you. We know the Pasuk says regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right, that v'chol adam lo yeh ba'ol mo'i. No one can be in the Ol Mo'i together with the Kohen Gadol. So who is he describing that's accompanying with him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Tosfos is bothered by this question. The Yushalmi is bothered by this question. If you look at the top Tosfos on the Amud, so he writes, v'yushalmi parach v'aksiv v'chol adam lo yeh ba'ol mo'i v'afilo malachim d'chsiv udmus peneim penei adam. So even malachim can't accompany him, to the best of our understanding, whatever that means. Malachim can't go in with him. So who's accompanying with him? So Yushami offers an answer, and Tosfos quotes it, and he says, "Mishani Yeshem Shechina Haisa." Oh, so maybe it was the Shechina that accompanies the Kohen Gadol going in. Okay, to the best of my understanding, whatever that means. I heard another pshat. I'd love to give credit. I don't know where to give credit to, but it's really beautiful pshat. and that is that it was Aram. Aram. In other words, if you look in the Pesukim in Acharimos when describing the Avod of Yom Kippur, so it says, Bezos Yavo, Aron. Aron goes in. Now, it's a funny way to describe the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah because Aron was there for that generation. But what about for all future generations? It's a mitzvah ledoros for the Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why does it say that Aaron's going in? So I heard a pshat. Again, I don't know who to give credit to, but I really like it. I heard a pshat that together with the Kohen Gadol, so a version of Aron goes in together with him. Okay. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So now he knows this is his last Yom Kippur, and in fact, so now it's post Sukkos, and Chaloshivas Yamim, and so seven days of illness, Umes, and Rachmanus and Shimon HaTzadik dies. And from that point going forward, so the Kohanim, when they would duchen and they would bench the Jewish people, so then they would not use the Shem HaMafarish. Now, why exactly would that be after the death of Shimon HaTzadik? Did they not know it, or whatever? In other words, that certainly deserves its own discussion. Why the Kohanim wouldn't use the Shem HaMafarish after the death of Shimon HaTzadik? But in any event, so now as he was dying, so it's Savah, so he declared that Chonyo was going to take his place as a Kohen Gadol. Shimi was very jealous. Shimi was 2.5 years older. So now, Shimi pulls Chonyo aside, and in a manner of scheming and plotting, he's basically looking for a way to Chonyo get deposed from the position so that Shimi himself could take over. So even though he looks like he is going to be advising Chonyo in terms of what exactly he should do in order to do the best job imaginable, but all he's doing is just scheming and plotting so that eventually Chonyo will get deposed. So he says to him as follows. Shimi says to Chonyo, here's what you should do. Your first day on the job, being the Kohen Gadol, so you should be wearing some special clothing today. So he puts him in. Now the Gemara over here describes his clothing, and basically the women's clothing. Now you'll see how it is so clear that it's women's clothing, and this is what he's now wearing in order to do the avoda. So now as Chonyo is dressed in what we now know is to be an absurd wardrobe for his first Yom Kippur, so now Shimi turns to the other Kohanim and says, could you get a load of this guy and see what he's wearing? In fact, he promised his wife, Shimi tells the other Kohanim, that on the day in which he's going to first serve in the Beis HaMikdash, so he promised her that he's going to wear her clothing as a shout out to her, to his wife. And the Kohanim now are looking to kill him. And it leads to an extremely long chase. And Chonyo goes all the way down to Egypt. There he builds a Mizbeach. And he's serving idolatry in the Mizbeach in Mitzrayim. And when the Chachamim hear this, so the Chachamim said, okay, everyone ready for a life lesson? Amru. Now imagine that the Shelo Yarad Lakach, meaning Shimi never even got a taste of power. And this is the kind of jealousy that he had towards his brother. Can you imagine somebody who actually gets a taste of power, the kind of jealousy and envy that he's going to have for anybody who is threatening his position? Another Tosus on this Amud, what Tosus is bothered by an obvious question, which I'm sure also bothers you as well, and that is, how can Chonyo be that ignorant? Meaning, when Shimi says to him, oh, here's what you're going to do, here's how you're going to dress, like, Chonyo really doesn't know what you dress on Yom Kippur, or what the Kohen Gadol is going to be wearing on a daily basis? And how can Chonyo not know this information? And furthermore, asked Tosfos. He saw his father. And furthermore, says Tosfos, we know that when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, your mamale makom, you only take the position of Kohen Gadol when you're roi lekach, when you're somebody who's fit. You have to be somewhere in the area, somewhere in the ballpark of a Talmud Chacham. And Chonyo, for not to know this most basic information of what a Kohen Gadol should be wearing, like, it seems strange. It seems very odd. Tosfos is bothered by that. Okay, good. Good. Only reinforcing the question. Good. Tosfos is bothered by that. Tema. Second Tosos. How does Shina Batoros Koran and Tachas Aviv Bizman Shuhu Mamali Makam Aviv? Vizel Oya Yodea, Seder Avoda. The Hakamra Leba Valamdecha Seder Avoda. Right? Shimi says to Chonyo, let me teach you about Seder Avoda. Like, this is the person who Shimon HaTzadik taps as being the next Kohen Gadol online. Somebody doesn't know Seder Avoda. So, the Hakamra Leba Valamdecha Seder Avoda. Vyesh Lamar, Debi Yiris Chait Hayam Mamale Makam Avosav. So interesting, Tosu says that as far as actual knowledge base is concerned, in Achinami, right, Chonya didn't know much. But in terms of his Yerushamayim, so in that way, he was Mamale Makam. Now, it's an interesting answer of Tosu's because we know how the story ends up. Meaning, he's going to be in Mitzrayim, being Ovid of Avodah Zarah. So it's just putting together Tosu's answer with the conclusion as we know it in the Gemara. That's difficult. But that's what Tosha says. V'chila ra kohen gadol meshamish me'olam sh'ayalavash b'mkali v'chagar b'tzotzo v'od. Ha'inu nasi kohen gadol ha'chiyas esgan. And again, but Tosha says it, but it's still incredulous that he doesn't know what the kohen gadol is going to wear. And don't you have to at least be a deputy in order to become the kohen gadol? And how could he not know? V'yesham edalo ha'yau yodeya. Now the gears of Tosha's over here, just if you look at the side, seder habali kanes b'kohen gadol ha'tchila. So maybe the way that Shimi duped Chonyo was by trying to convince him, look, on a regular basis, obviously, you know, it's the Kohen Gadol's normal clothing. But this is your first day on the job. Oh, for first day on the job, oh, for that you wear something special. Maybe you didn't know about it, but let me teach you about it. So Tosa says maybe that is how Shimi was able to dupe Chonyo. It's Lifnei, on the list of things that that Shimi's going to be responsible for. Yes, I would add Lifnei Iver.
The question is that who?
Let's ask him this question if he didn't know.
Yeah. Okay, good. Again, the kasha is really good. The kasha is really strong. Okay, it needs an answer. Demands an answer. Tosfos gives an answer, but it's hard. It's hard to understand. I know. I remember the beginning of the Masechta. I'm with you.
The other question is that who bankrolled Chonyo in Egypt to build the structure? Like
he found
that?
It.
That's not a simple.
He found.
Just going and open up a.
He found donors. I don't know. Okay, that is all version number one of the story. Now we move on to version number two. And the only thing I need to do is just find the right place. And then we're good to go. Okay. So the Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now, the first version that we just saw this morning, that is Rabbi Meir's version of the story. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to give a slightly different version. Story beginning and end is the same, but some of the middle details are going to change. You'll see. Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo kachay amaisa elak lo kibel alav chonyo sh'haya shimi achiv gadol mimenu shtei shanim amechsa. Okay. So in Rav Meir's version of the story, so again, Shimon HaTzadik is dying. Shimon HaTzadik turns to Chonyo, taps him as the successor of the next Kohen Gadol. And Chonyo over here defers. He declines. He simply says, no, I can't take it because I have a brother older than me 2.5 years. Now, it's interesting. In other words, it's a tzava. It's a commandment of a, right? It's a Shchid Meiraz, last will and testament. And this is and this is what he wants. And how does Chonyo even have the ability to decline? But he does. Good. V'alfa pikin iskana bo Chonyo b'shimi. Achiv. And now we touch on a real human nature. And that is that Chonyo declined, which was an altruistic act, and then he gets jealous. Okay? Because he's human. So, Amr lo bav lam decha seder avoda v'yol b'shim b'nkali v'chag b'tzotzu v'emidu eitzal mizbech. And now, here in the second version, Ramir's version of the story, so it is now Chonyo advising Shimi, here's what you're going to do. You're going to become the Kohen Gadol. That's great. You know what you wear. You're going to be wearing special clothing. Here, let me show you exactly what to put on. And again, now here in the second version, so Chonyo is dressing Shimi up in women's clothing. And again, now in the second version, it's Chonyo telling the other Kohanim that Shimi promises to his wife. On the day that I assume position as Kohen Gadol, I'm going to be wearing your skirt and your belt. So and now the Kohanim are looking to kill Shimi. But Shimi over here says to the Kohanim, wait 1 second. If we could just pause for just a moment. Let me explain to you why it is I'm wearing the clothing that I am. I was advised, and do you know who advised me? And he points now to his brother. Bikshu la'arog geschonya. So now the masses of the Kohanim just simply turn direction and now head in Chonyo's direction. Rasmi b'neihem, and he runs from them. Ratz le'beit ha'melech. Now in the second version of the story, another really interesting detail that we don't have in the first version, and that is Chonyo makes a pit stop in the king's palace, seeking refuge over there. So Amr zehu zehu. But he keeps getting pointed out by everybody. That's him, that's him. And so therefore he couldn't even get asylum in the king's palace. And here in Rav Meir's version, so the conclusion now comes out to be the same. Chonyo's in Mitzrayim, Chonyo opened up shop, Beis HaMikdash, but here, in Rav Meir's version, it's not L'Avodah Zarah, but L'Shem Shamayim, Shenemar. And over here, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which really supports this. So the pasuk in Yeshayahu actually describes some form of a temple in Egypt. And again, the Chachamim also walk away from a life lesson over here from the second version of the story. The life lesson is, can you imagine what power did to Chonyo, and he originally ran away from the power. And imagine how it corrupted him and caused the jealousy and the envy where he looked to do harm to his brother. And imagine for the person who's not running away from the power, who's actually seeking power, and how scared and intimidating that should be for him and for the rest of us. Okay. Tanya. The Gemara quotes the following, and so while we're on the topic of what power does to a person and how it corrupts and adversely influences a person, so Rav Yeshua ben Prachya over here is going to have a moment of self-awareness, the likes of which is really strong. Yeshua ben Prachya says, now he was a Nasi of the Jewish people. And he says that before taking the position, if someone would have told me, you know, you should become the leader. So I would have said no. And I would have said it much stronger than that. I would have taken, tied him up, and put him in front of a lion. Okay? Probably hyperbole. Not probably. Okay? But in other words, basically, I would, of course, have declined the offer, rejected the offer. I would not want to become the leader. But now that I am the leader, and if somebody would have asked me, hey, you know what? Step down. So I'd be pouring hot water over his head, boiling water over his head. Now, okay, in other words, so once you're, before you're in the position, so even if your nature is that you don't want the position and no, not me, but once you have the position, it's hard to let go. Shari Shaul Baruch Mimenu. Now remember, when Shaul was originally tapped to become the king of the Jewish people, so he said, no, he declined. He was, the Navi described him as having humility. And then, Ukeshala Bikesh Larok is David. And now, as the king of the Jewish people, so once his position got threatened by David HaMelech, by the way, his son-in-law, so then he looks to kill David HaMelech. So once again, you see this idea of how power can corrupt and influence. Amalei Markeshisha Bered Rav Chisla Abai Rav Meir Haikra De Rav Yehuda Mai Avidlei. Now, there is a pasuk in Yeshayahu that, in fact, Rav Meir went over. And the pasuk in Yeshayahu certainly describes a temple in Egypt that was used to serve Hashem. So for Rav Meir, we know the history behind that temple. In other words, what Yeshayahu was prophesying. Now Yeshayahu lived at the end of Bayis Rishon, but in other words, what he was forecasting, according to Rav Meir, was Beis Chonyo. That's very good. But if you're Rabbi Yehuda, it couldn't be Beis Chonyo, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Chonyo was a makom of Avodah Zarah. So what was Yeshayahu talking about? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Lichid Tanya. Second line from the bottom. Lacher mapalaso shos Sancheir yatzach Chizkiyahu matz b'nei malachim sheyoshu b'karnas shel zahav. Sancheirav goes and attacks the northern kingdom successfully, and then goes down into the southern kingdom. We're in the middle of Bayis Rishon, and we are about 150 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, and the king of Yehuda at the time was Chizkiyahu. And so now Sancheirav lays a siege around Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu for just a little bit of time now is going to be in exile. And while in exile, so he finds kings, Right? The Gemara describes over here how he finds, well, we'll see in just a moment. Right now it's just B'nai Malachim. We'll see, it's five in total. He dir shalal avar avos kochavim. And so, while Chizkiah is in exile, so he does a little bit of kiruv. So he tells the he tells his kings, look, they're obviously not Jewish kings. He tells the kings, look, could you stop with the idolatry? Meaning, be a monotheism. It's a good thing. Try it out. And he gets them on board. Shenem Rabbi Yamu Yechamish Avrim Baretz Mitzrayim Midabros Fas Kanan V'Nishpos Hashem Tzvakos. And so here now, again, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describing how there were these five cities in Egypt speaking Hebrew and Nishbaos Lashem, committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, good. So in other words, so this is how Rabbi Meir is going to be understanding the Pesukim in Yeshayahu. It's describing basically the cure of work that was done by Chizkiyahu for these kings. Okay, and it's these kings who set up this temple in Egypt, and according to Rameyer, that's what the Navi in Yeshayahu is describing. Now here in the Pesukim, it also points out Ir HaHeres, Yamel Achas. One of the cities was Ir HaHeres. So the Gemara over here identifies, my Ir HaHeres, Yamel Achas, Kedemekatargim Rav Yosef. And we see throughout Shas that Rav Yosef is the one who's providing Targum on Nevi'im and Psuvim. And so over here, same story. Karta de Beishemes ta'atu le'mecharev, it amar di'chad minhon. So it is the city of Beit Shemesh. I don't think he's making reference to what we describe as the city of Beit Shemesh. In other words, it's one of the cities in Egypt. How did Rav Yosef, excuse me, arrive at the conclusion that that Shemesh and Heres are interchangeable words? So he finds a pasuk in Eov, Ha'omer l'cheres v'lo yizrach. Okay, so you see clearly that the zricha, the radiance of it, is in reference to cheres. Cheres and heres are words that are similar enough. So you see that heres is a shemesh. Heviu banai merachok v'nosai mikitzei haaretz. The Navi in Yeshayahu is describing how my sons are at a distance and my daughters from the corners of the world. And the Gemara now is understanding it in the context of what we're learning. Rav Huna understands the pasuk in Yeshayahu as first the sons. So that's a reference to the Jews living out not all the way in the boondocks, but in other words, but in the most immediate exile, otherwise known as Bavel. Shedatam Yushevas Aleim Kebanim, their mind is settled, just like that of a son. Now, for the Jews who were living out in the boondocks, who are really out there, and so they are less settled like that of daughters. So, in other words, if you go from Tsur to Kartigna, now Tsur probably something, Tsur is Tyre. Right, probably something close to Lebanon, what we described as Lebanon. Kartigna, less than clear. Right, Carthage, okay, perhaps North Africa, Tunisia, whatever the case is. But anyway, Mitzurva Kartigna Makinus Yisrael Vesavim Shebeshamayim. So there is a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Basically, in other words, and by the way, the Gemara is describing this and the previous Gemara because of the influence that Chizkiah had on Egypt. So in other words, so basically we're talking about the influence that the Jewish people have in terms of spreading the monotheistic agenda throughout the world. So the Gemara says basically we could create like little perimeters, if you will, like regions. Those that are closer to Eretz Yisrael, so we have more of an influence. And the further we go, less of an influence. From Sur to Kartigna, Makirnas Yisrael Vesavin Shebashamayim. So they have an understanding of the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umitzur kapei marav mitigne kapei mizrach im akirnes Yisrael v'lo asavin shebashamayim. But outside of that, like they really, like our influence, our kiruv department doesn't go beyond the cities of Sur and Kartigna. Eitzer shemei barchi al rav mi mizrach shemesh ad v'an mavo agadol shemi bagoyim uvechol makom muktar mugash l'shmi u mincha tohara. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Malachi. Sounds like we had influence of spreading the word of one God throughout the entire world. Mimizrach shemesh va'ad mavoa, from where the sun rises to where the sun sets. So over here you're telling me that there was only a small perimeter in which we were influencing the world, but not beyond that? Sounds like we have some influence over the whole world. But the answer is very simple. Amar Lein, he says, Shimi At, right? Is that you, Shimi? Meaning you're asking that question? So, Dekar Lei, Allah Dalaha B'chol Makom. I'm sorry, Dekar Lei, Allah Dalaha. It goes like this. Within the perimeter from Tzur to Kartigna, so we had enough influence where not only were we able to broadcast an idea of monotheism, but they understood that there's simply one God, and that's it. Outside of that, they had a distorted view of monotheism. In other words, the way they describe God is Eloha Delaha. Oh, he's the God of all gods, meaning he's the top God, and underneath him, there are other powers, there are other deities. So they had a corrupted view of what Yichud Hashem is. So we're going back to the pasuk of Malachi, and we're saying b'chol makom. What does that mean? So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Elo Tamid Chacham, and Ma'oskim b'Torah b'chol makom. So in other words, we're not offering to a Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chol makom, but what it means is as follows: when you have Tamid Chachamim who are oskim b'Torah b'chol makom, mali and ne'alem ki ilo maktiram u'magishim l'shmi. So it's as if there's an offering made to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when Torah, and specifically, and this is going to be a big theme in today's daf, when Seder Kachim is being learned, Zvachim and Menachos is being learned through all parts of the world, right? Here we are in one of the corners of the world, right? Finishing up Seder Masechta Menachos. So it's Ki'ilu, Makir Magishin, Lishmi. Mincha Tahara. The pasuk in Malachi describes, ends off with Mincha Tahara. Zeh Alomei Torah B'Tahara. No Se'isha V'achakach Alomei Torah. So the correct sequence, says the Gemara over here, is first get married. So that way, your Yetzer Hara will be satisfied. And then you can learn Torah in a state of Tahara. Now, this should sound familiar in terms of what is the correct order. Should you first learn, or should you first get married? And the Gemara in Kedushin has a machlokas on this very issue. And so Rav Yochanan over there, the famous line of Rav Yochanan over there in the Gemara Kedushin, Rechaim betzavaro. If the yoke is around your neck, you're expected to learn Torah. Meaning being married, of course, is responsibility. And how could you learn Torah if you have the responsibility of taking care of the finances of the house? Okay. But anyway, but the Gemara over there has two positions in terms of what the correct order is. And if you remember the Gemara's conclusion over there, and Tosfos over here quotes it really succinctly, Halan va'aluhu. Depends basically on whether you're us or them, whether you live in Bavel or whether you live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Tosfos over there, I'm not going to go through it right now, Tosfos over there has a debate in terms of what exactly the Gemara's conclusion was. But anyway, I'll say really succinctly, and I'll oversimplify. Circumstantial, meaning some people can get married first and then, you know, and then commit themselves to learning, and other people cannot. And it's really circumstantial, and it's not one size fits all. But in the meantime, however, that's what the pshat in the pasuk in Malachi is, that those people who can first get married and then learn Torah, so they'll be able to learn in a state of Tahara. Shir Amalos Hinei Baruchus Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem Amdim Ves Hashem Balelos. The Gemara here, according to the pasuk in Tehillim, and again, it's going to be hitting on the same themes that we've been discussing. We are Amdim Ves Hashem Balelos. My Balelos, what does that mean at night? And in fact, we can further advance the question, meaning nighttime is not the time to do avoda. So what does that mean? So I'm Rav Yochanan, Elo Talmid Chachamim Oskim B'Torah Balayla. So the Talmid Chachamim are learning Torah at night. Ma'ala Aleim Akasuk Kilu Asukim Ba'avoda. It's as if they're involved in the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. La'olam zosa Yisrael amar Rabbi Gidol amar Rav Zeh Mizbeach Banui. So this will be forever la'olam. And what does that mean, la'olam? Meaning the Beis Hamikdash is not la'olam. We've now gone 2,000 years without a Beis Hamikdash. What does that mean, la'olam? So amar Rav, so Zeh Mizbeach Banui, u'michal sar gadol omid u'makrev alav karban. It is a reference to Michael, meaning for the physical world that we have, there's a spiritual counterpart, and so Michael is now offering on the spiritual Mizbeach Karbanos. Rav Yochanan amar elu tamid chachamim asukim be'ochas avoda, ma'alei alei me'akasu kilu nivne mikdash b'yameihem. And Rav Yochanan, once again, goes back to our theme, which is tamid chachamim who are learning Seder Avoda and learning Zvachim and Menachos, so they're the ones who are ki'ilu being makriv Karbanos. Amr Yish Lakish Mai Dichsiv Zosa Torah La'ola La'mincha L'chatos La'ashem Kol Ha'osik B'Torah Ke'ilu Yikriv Ola Mincha Chatos V'ashem. So learning the Torah, and again, I'll add, specifically, the Zvachim Menachos Mesechtas, so it's Ke'ilu, it's as if you're offering all these karbanos. Amr Rav Ahai La'ola La'mincha Ola U'mincha Mi'ba'ilei. You know, it's funny, the Pasuk says Le'ola and Le'mincha. In other words, the Torah should just simply say Ola U'mincha. So Ela Amar Rava Kol Osik B'Torah Inu Tzarech Lo Ola V'Lo Mincha. So we'll do what the Lamed is. Well, basically, it's a little play on the letter Lamed. The Lamed will signify the word Lo, meaning not Ola, not Mincha. What does that mean? So if you're learning about these Karbanos, it's as if you brought them, and therefore it's equivalent to you not needing these Karbanos. Lo Ola V'Lo Mincha V'Lo Asham. Amr Rav Yitzchak Mai Dichsiv Zos Toras Achatos V'Zos Toras Hashem Kol Haosek B'Toras Chatos Ki'ilu Yikriv Chatos V'Kol Haosek B'Toras Hashem Ki'ilu Yikriv Hashem. And again, the Gemara hits on the theme one more time. Finishing up over here, we're in the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Nembar Ba'Olas Me'ema Ishe Reich Nicholach Uvel Olas Ha'Of Ishe Reich Nicholach Uvemincha Ishe Reich Nicholach. You'll notice that regardless of the size of the karban, a large animal creates a pleasing aroma, as does a bird, as does a mincha. Each one of them has the same effect. But the Mishnah over here tells us that it doesn't matter if you're giving a lot, doesn't matter if you're giving a little, as long as libo l'shamayim, your intention in bringing the karban was to gain closeness to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that is the goal. That's the mission. The size of the karban just simply be dependent on your means. Am Rabbi Zera Maikra Misuka Shnas HaOver Imat V'Im Harbe. The Gemara now is just seeking psukim that support this idea that it doesn't matter whether you're giving a lot or giving a little, as long as Libo L'Shamayim. So the first pasuk the Gemara quotes is from Koheles Misuka Shnas HaOved Imat V'Im Harbe Yochal. Doesn't matter if it's a little, doesn't matter if it's a lot. Rav Adar Rav Amar Mehacha, Biribo Satova, Rabu Ochleha, Umakishon Laba'alav. In the bounty of good that you receive, so that's what you give, and that's what you eat. In other words, just simply dependent on how much you have. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Menazai, Bore Maxi Beparshas Karbanos. Shalom Amar Bahen Lo El, Velo Elokim, Ela Hashem. You'll notice once again another observation by all the various karbanos. It says Isherech Nichoach La Hashem, using the Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, not using the Shem Hashem of Kel or Elokim, but rather Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why? Shalalitim Pitzchom Pel LaBaldin Lachklok VeNemar B'Shor Agas Isherech Nichoach UVav Adak Isherech Nichoach UVeMincha Isherech Nichoach. I'm sorry. Let me break that up better. Shalalitim Pitzchom Pel LaBaldin Lachklok. Okay, and the reason why is because we don't want anyone to come up and manufacture a terrible pshat in the psukim, meaning maybe the large animal is there to appease this power, and maybe the bird is there to appease this power. So in other words, the Torah says with absolute clarity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, pause. Okay, now we can move on to the next part. V'nemar, b'shor agas yisherech nechoach, uv'of adak yisherech nechoach. Uvimincha yisherech nechoach. L'malcha, echad amar b'va, echad amar b'va, v'ashichav enzlibo l'shamayim. So the Bryce over here says exactly what we learned back in the Mishnah. Doesn't matter whether it's a lot or a little, as long as your intention is l'shamayim. V'shematar malachil hu tzarech. And maybe, God forbid, what you'll say is, you know, I'm providing on the Mizbech because Hashem needs to eat. Tamalomar, im erav lo omar lach. Kili seva umalawa. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I don't need it. Right? I'm creator of the whole world, owner of the whole world. It's not for me. Menemer kili kol chayso ya'ar be'emos ba'are elef ya'adati kol of harim v'ziz shakai imadi. Or I should say better, sadai imadi. Ha'ochel basari verim v'dam asudim eshte lo amarti alechem zivchu k'dei shetomar eser ritzono v'yaser ritzoni. Lo l'ritzoni atem zovchim elo l'ritzonchem atem zovchim. I'm doing it only so that you fulfill my will, and you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for you to be compliant with my tzivu, with my commandment. In other words, when you offer karbanos and you shech karbanos, you're doing it not for me and for my purposes. I don't have needs. but rather you're doing it for yourselves. Davar achal ritzon chen tizbechu, ritzon chen zivchu, ladat chem zivchu. Now the Gemara gives another drasha, ritzon chem means ladat chem. There has to be a certain amount of intent when offering these karbanos. How do I know that a person is misasik bekachim? Offering a karban but mindlessly. No kavana, no intent. It's just a mindless act. And it goes so far that it becomes pasul. How do I know this? Shenema v'shechalas ben bakar shetei shchuta, shchita l'shem ben bakar. So it has to be done for the sake of ben bakar. Amar lo zubi adenu. So he says, no, that part we knew. We had every understanding that to be offering it l'shem shamayim and not to do it mindlessly, we know that was a value. What I want to know is one step further. Not only is it a value, but is it also going to be ma'akev? So Shina, right, Rashi concludes Shina Allah v'kasav la'akev. An idea that we saw numerous times throughout our Masechta and the previous one as well, is that when there's a repetition in the Torah, where the Torah is instructing us with repetition by karbanos, it's la'akev, it's li'ikuva, it is essential. It's not just a value, but it's something which is going to disqualify the karban. Shekoach everyone for concluding Menachos.